Blog Hi, everybody. Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is The Cool with Kevin Jenkins. And happy fall, everybody. How you doing it out there? We had a last-minute change in number, and we don't have a usual theme song, but we hope to get back to that. But welcome on this first day of fall 2016. This is the show called The Cool. I'm your host, Kevin Jenkins, and we are here every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. And I'm doing a lot of things here because I'm trying to get into the studio and all that business, you know, because we just had a last-minute change on things. And so very, very happy that you're able to come on today with us today. And, you know, we have some great guests today. We have Russell Elvin, if I got his name correct. He is the he's head of the Genesis 129 project. We also have Cheryl Phillips of Black Vegan Living, and then Queenie Moore of Plant-Based, 21 Days to Go Plant-Based. And so we're very, very happy to be with you today. And I am just very grateful that, you know, we got things going on. You know, my music seems to be here. And let me see. I got somebody calling in right now. Let's hold on for a second here. Hello. Welcome to The Cool.
Well, hello, Mr. Kevin Jenkins. This is Ms. B. Just stopping by. Praying that you're having a good night.
I appreciate it very much.
Yes, that's right. Well, you go. I'm going to be listening in and just go forth and be blessed.
I think what's going on here is too that my music is out, everything's gone here, and I can't just, I guess, direct connect is not going to work for me, so I'm going to have to talk from the phone today. I want to see maybe if I can get back on direct connect, but maybe not. I'm not sure. It says invite guest host. I don't know if that's part of that. Is that part of that? It's almost like starting all over again.
That's all right. You just let your guests keep talking, and just keep it flowing. Just keep it flowing.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, I'm gonna use probably some of this music that's on the board here because I see here it's a couple things. But thanks a lot, Ms. B. Appreciate that very, very much.
Not a problem. I'm here for you. Yeah, we have a selection of music on the right that may accommodate you for the moment.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a good night.
Bye-bye. We're going to try to get things going here. So give us a couple of minutes here and try to get my first guest on at this moment. We'll be right back. Are you on the line there?
Yes, sir. I'm on the line. Oh, listen, we had last minute. First of all, can you pronounce your last name for me?
Elephant.
Elephant. Okay.
Yeah.
We had a last minute change and glitch that my producer informed me of. Had to change a couple things, and so that's hence the change in number. Anyway, but I'm so happy that you're able to make it. You know, we had a little switch here, and in the midst, approaching the couple minutes of the show, I had to make some switches as far as phone calls, phone numbers, and everything. But listen, Russell, I'm glad that you're here. Russell Elephant is a pastor, and he is a vegan life, certified vegan lifestyle coach. He's also head of this new project, and we're going to get onto that later, called the Genesis 129 Project. And so, Russ, you're living in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, just temporarily. I'll be back in Chicago next year, but I am temporarily in Puerto Rico, where it's getting dark. And as I was telling you, Kevin, there's a power outage down here over the whole island. So it's we had generator power yesterday, and then I think it ran out of fuel at about 1 a.m. last night.
Wow, so you still have the power for...
Yeah, the government is saying that that power will be restored over the entire island tomorrow morning. But between you and me and the audience, I'll believe that when I see the lights come on.
That's very good. So, so is Puerto Rico your second home, or is your vacation home, or what is that?
Yeah, sort of. My wife's work brought us down here, and she's a human resource consultant, and she's doing some work down here that was good enough to sort of take us away from the Chicago winters for a couple of years.
Wow!
But I'm looking forward to getting back to Chicago full time. I'm actually going to be able to run up to Chicago the first week of October. The Chicago vegan mania is happening, and I'm going to be able to get back there in time for that.
Wow, that's excellent. That's excellent. So tell the listening audience about your journey as a vegan, and what you speak also is that you're also a clergyman. So talk about that a bit.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to do that. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a cowboy. And growing up in Texas, there were actually some opportunities for that. We lived on a patch of land in this little town south of Fort Worth. And when I was 13 years old, I was reading every sort of agricultural book I could, but I wound up getting cancer. And it was a bone cancer in my left arm. And it was so extreme that they had to amputate my left arm because of the cancer. And the way that this kind of ties into my vegan story is that some members of our church knew of my love of agriculture and animals, and they gave me two heifers, what we believe to be two young cows who had not yet been bred, but come to find out, they both were pregnant. So I wound up with two cows and two calves almost immediately, and cared for those, actually became pretty close to those cows. And when it came time to sell, it was a heartbreaking experience for me. So I wasn't really able to be a cowboy because I loved the cows too much. And that was when we sold those cows, was my first foray into vegetarianism. So at about 14 mm-hmm. years old, I didn't believe that this was right, that eating those animals that I had come to be so close to was right. Now, to be honest, Kevin, it didn't last that long. At 14, I wasn't, although there are many young people who are, I was not able to keep it going. But vegetarianism kept on coming back and coming back to me until in graduate school, I did become a vegetarian. And while I was, I went to school a lot. I wound up being a professor at a university, and I wound up getting colon cancer. And I was vegetarian at the time, but like many vegetarians who are, I think, doing this for animal or ethical reasons, we don't really take care of ourselves. And I was eating very poorly. I was probably living off of cheese and ice cream more than anything else. And as I became aware of the health benefits of veganism, and as I became aware of the dairy industry as a whole and what the animals go through with that, I think like a lot of vegetarians, I thought I was sort of doing enough when it came to animal ethics. But as you know, as you learn more about that, there's really no place to go except for veganism. So after this second cancer, I learned as much as I could about the health aspects of veganism, and that was in 2006. So I've been vegan for 10 years now.
Wow. And you've been vegan and cancer-free?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was in Chicago a few months ago to have a checkup done, and everything's free and clear.
Wow. Wow. So let's go back to when you had the colon cancer, and you were vegetarian then, right?
Right.
Okay. So was that the news must have been devastating, but did you like say, man, I'm vegetarian, and you know, why is this happening to me?
Well, I think that is exactly part of it. Why is this happening to me? I've had cancer now. I'm 39 years old at the time, and I have colon cancer, which is not generally a cancer that occurs that young. So
right.
What is going on with my body that's doing this? So I don't know if you've ever spent any amount of time as a patient in a hospital, but it's you have very little control. I mean, people wake you up when you're asleep. They're punching on you, sticking. You're completely at the mercy of other people. And when I got out of the hospital, and after I got finished, we did radiation before the surgery, chemotherapy, and then a second round of radiation after the surgery. After I kind of got my health back and my wherewithal, I began to sort of as a professor, you know, I was sort of used to searching literature, and I began to search the literature as best I knew how and began to come up with this plant-based solution over and over and over again to where, you know, that really led me from the animal ethic part to the health part. Which to me, along with the environmental part that we know about now, really does make sort of a trinity of good reasons to be doing this, to be eating in this vegan lifestyle way.
And I think you're right there, Russ, about you know, being in the hospital. I've had the great fortune, through the grace of God, only being in the hospital twice in my life, and. Nothing to do with any diseases. When I was a kid, you know, back in the day, they tucked my navel in. I said I had a hernia, so I had that surgery there, and then I had suffered second-degree burns in a car mishap driving someone. That's about many, many, many years ago. But you're right, and what triggers that, what you just said, is because I had a member of my church, as you know, I'm a clergyman like you, and who had her son going through seizures, And the way the medical professionals treated her and her son was just appalling. I mean, it was not very, very good. The lack of patience and misdiagnosis. Now, fortunately, everything is working right. But I told her that make sure you never get in this position again. You want to be in control of your own health. And I think that's the way you resolve this too also, right?
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. There were all these people doing things to me, so I tried to figure out what I could do for myself. And I believe I've come up with the best answer for my health, for the health of animals, and for the health of the planet.
Mm-hmm. And what are the things that you're now doing for yourself to keep yourself, you know, free of cancer that you can tell the listening audience?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what I do is, you know, there's many ways of being vegan, and I, my personal belief, and are you familiar with Chef AJ?
Yes, I've heard of Chef AJ.
Yeah, Chef, I was listening to a talk that Chef AJ gave one time, and she said there's no bad reason to go vegan, to become
wow.
vegan. So I kind of believe that myself, that even if you eat processed vegan foods, even if you don't eat the whole food plant-based way that I eat or that I suggest people eat, you're still doing the animals better. You're still probably doing the health of the planet a lot better. But what I do is eat that whole food plant-based style of eating. One of my first exposures to this was, again, through church. Someone suggested to me this book called The Rave Diet, R-A-V-E. And what that stood for was no refined foods, no animal products, no vegetable oils, and exercise. So that's how Mike Anderson was his name, came up with the Rave Diet. And from Rave, I began to see Dr. McDougall, Dr. Furman, Dr. Bernard, Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. Stoll, all of these different physicians who were saying basically the same thing. Eat real food, as it was, as it came out of the garden, as much and as often as you can. So I try to eat those real foods, no animal products. I personally avoid, for the most part, probably 95-98% of the time, I avoid all oil. I only eat oil if I go out to a restaurant or something. And I exercise. I do sort of interval training where I run really hard, I rest for a few minutes, I run really hard and rest for a few minutes, and that keeps my heart healthy as well. I'm going back to Chicago not only for the Vegan Fest, Vegan Mania, but also to have my blood work done that's not related to cancer, just, you know, your yearly checkup kind of blood work. So
yes.
when I did this initially, it was a funny interaction with my physician. As I came in one year, and then I came back the next year, and he looked at my numbers, and he said, "What in the world did you do?" And I told him, "No refined foods, no animal products, no vegetable oils, and exercise." And his response to me, Kevin, was, "Why in the world would you do that?"
Really?
Yeah. And there he is. Yeah. He's looking at my numbers. He sees how spectacular they were from a year ago, how much improved. And he says to me, "Why in the world would you do that?"
Wow. What does that say to you about the MDs of today? What does that say to you?
Yeah, it says a couple of things to me, Kevin. It says what we've heard over and over again is that most physicians are not familiar with the literature because they weren't taught this stuff in medical school. They weren't exposed to nutrition for any real length of time in medical school. So I think, as I have read it, there's a hierarchy in medicine, and physicians and, you know, surgeons above them and all of this, but they're at the higher end of the hierarchy, and dietitians, you know, let dietitians do their little thing over there. It really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing. And what I believe now, and I don't know if this is out of line or not, but what I sort of believe is that most physicians are like, in many ways, auto mechanics. They look at your body just like an auto mechanic looks at your car and diagnoses what he or she believes is happening, and then they offer a remedy for that. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but sometimes I've had to take my car in multiple times because they weren't quite sure what it was, and they just kept on trying things. And I think sometimes that's what the I think sometimes that's what the medical field does. They try this pill, they try that pill until numbers start looking better. But I think we can do better ourselves. So that's one of the things that I see, is that they're really not exposed to nutrition and don't have any background in it. And then the other thing is, when they are exposed to the literature and they do see a little bit of how much of an improvement this can make, they believe it's too hard for people to do. And in that, oftentimes, the physician, him or herself, is included. Because I can guarantee you that my physician was not a whole food plant-based eater.
Yes, definitely.
So
definitely.
She believes it's too hard to do, they're not going to recommend it to their patients, because oftentimes the physician, him or herself, cannot do this or does not believe that they can do this.
Have you heard that story of that cardiologist? I think he was head. No, I know, because it's circulating on Facebook. He still is. He's head of cardiology. I think it's called Highland Hospital in Rochester, somewhere, Rochester, New York, and weighing 300 pounds, head of cardiology, telling people what they ought not to do as it relates to their food and their lifestyle habits if they're going to get a heart attack or be a candidate for a heart attack. And he said to himself, look at me, I'm 300 pounds, and he's a guy from the Carolinas, I think it's North Carolina, and he has a smoker in his backyard, so he was a big meat consumer, and he decided that he had enough of this 300 pounds and doing all this and not being a good example, and he went vegan. He went vegan.
Yeah.
It's I think it's a podcast, so you can probably look it up on my Facebook page, because I got it listed somewhere there. And he lost 60 pounds within 2 months or something like that, 2 or 3 months or something like that. And he looks incredibly healthy, because they have a picture of him before and a picture that he's doing now. But, you know, it's just reinforcing what you just said, that the doctors are almost like auto mechanics. And by the way, as you already know, and you did reference this, the first thing they do is they prescribe a pill before they deal with any dietary issues here. We're talking with Russell Evelyn. Did I get his last name right? Is that correct?
Evelyn. It's pretty close. Evelyn. Yep.
Russell Evelyn,
yep.
of the Genesis 129 Project, which we'll talk about in a minute. We have a new number, which is 516-453-9906. Many of you who might be listening may have to listen on demand, but that is our new call-in number. And so, you know, Russell, now the Rave Diet, is that a book?
It is a book. It's a self-published book. Gary Anderson is the name of the fellow who put it together.
Gary Anderson.
It says many of the same things that many of the physicians are saying, the physicians
Absolutely.
That you and I pay attention to.
Well, let's talk about the Genesis 129 Project, and then I want to talk to you because I think you did a cooking class with Neil Barnard, didn't you, at his plant-based clinic?
Actually, I went to PCRM to get the training to do the Food for Life program.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right.
That's it, because I'm very much interested in that. That includes a cooking class too, right?
Yes, sir. It talks to people about nutrition, but it also shows people how, and I think this is key. I think the educational part is very important, but oftentimes people say, that makes sense to me, but I don't know how to do it. And if you can show them how to do it and that it tastes good, then I think you've got something positive working.
Well, you know what? Since we segue in there, because we definitely want to talk about your project, which I find very, very fascinating, the Genesis 129 Project. But how did you get involved with going to the Food for Life? How does one get involved or become eligible to take the classes, and then talk about the how many days you had to spend in training?
Yeah. Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, is a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C., founded by Dr. Neil Barnard. And if you look him up, he's written a number of books on a number of topics, but they all of the books are formatted around this whole food, plant-based way of eating and vegan lifestyle. So he's been working on the nutrition end of this for years. He has a number of physicians are members of PCRM. There are a number of dietitians on the staff. And I think I may have sort of been parroting what Dr. Barnard was saying, in that the educational piece is important, but unless you show people how to do it and that it tastes good, then you're not getting people as far along as you might want. So he and a team of dietitians put this, what they called Food for Life Cancer Project initially. That was the first Food for Life class, was built around cancer prevention and keeping from getting cancer again, from recurring cancers. And I took that class down in Texas. And I also brought that class into the congregation I served. So I was exposed to it probably, I think my surgery was 2004, the end of 2004. I think 2006 or 7, maybe 2008. I can't recall exactly. But I went through the class and was so impressed by it that I had the class come into the congregation I served. So once a year, they will train new instructors, and I just went through the 3 days of training this past August, just a few weeks ago, actually. And in that class, you apply to become an instructor, and it's fairly competitive. I was told there were 90 people who applied, and I think they accepted 20 people into the program. You've got to do a video for them to show the your cooking skills, which is something that I actually thought might get in my way, because I'm, you know, I'm doing this with one hand, but I was able to show them that I could do that through the video. And then there's a fairly extensive application process and background check and all of that. When you are accepted, you go to DC for 3 days. What they do is sort of walk you through different pieces of the curriculum. They have you do a presentation while you're there, a cooking presentation. And when you come out on the other side of that, then you can offer the classes in your geographic area. And mine is going to be Chicago.
Okay. Wow. So, we have to talk, I guess, offline. Sounds very interesting. I don't know how my cooking skills would pass and do a video. I guess I'm gonna have to pretend I'm like the Julia Child of veganism.
Well, the truth is, Kevin, I eat really very simply. I'm a green and bean and grain guy. I eat very simply a lot of the time, but there are some really good recipes that PCRM has, and I think when you give people the educational piece, you're there in front of them to answer questions, and then they say, hey, this doesn't taste so bad, then I think you got something.
Okay, that's very good. Let me ask you this before we segue into the Genesis 129 project. You say you cook with no oil?
Yes, sir. That's correct. No oil for me.
So how – I'm always curious about that because I know Forks Over Knives champions that. So if you were to – I don't know if you fry anything, but what do you cook with? What does one cook with on a fry of a black bean burger?
Yeah. I do more of steaming than I do other things, but you can easily – water saute, or you can use vegetable broth to saute things in. You just have to pay a little closer attention than if you're using oil. You just have to keep on it a little bit, rather than with oil, you can allow it to kind of saute there by itself for a little bit. But with the water or the vegetable oil, you just kind of keep them moving around until you get them sauteed to the degree you want.
Okay, so that sounds simple. I'm a try that. So even like a frozen veggie patty, you just put a little bit of water in there and just saute it and make sure it gets brown and everything, right?
You know, with a veggie patty, I wouldn't use water at all. I would just make sure that you move it around. If you keep it in one place in your pan, then it will probably burn. But if you continue to move it around in the pan, it will heat without requiring the oil. And I think one of the things that I fall back on is that oil, like a tablespoon of oil has about the same amount of fat and calories in it that a scoop of ice cream does. When you're trying to keep everything clean and smooth inside, oil can kind of gunk up the process a little bit. It's just straight calories. It's just straight fat and calories.
Okay. I'm gonna do that transition like that. I don't cook too much with oil. I don't cook too much with oil. If I do any oil, it's like very little, a drop or something like that,
For you and for other folks, if they're interested, PCRM has their entire Cancer Survivor's Guide book online in PDF format, and there's boatloads of wonderful recipes in that book. So if you were to Google PCRM Cancer Survivor's Guide, that PDF would probably pop up.
PCRM Cancer Survivor Guide.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna definitely Google that for somebody here. Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about we talked with Russell Elevin. He is the pastor and head and the CEO of the Genesis 129 Project, and we definitely have to talk about that. We have a new number, 516-453-9906. So let's talk about the Genesis, the remaining time we have left, the Genesis 129 Project.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm really excited about this. I guess Genesis 129 in the Bible is this verse that says, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you." And in Genesis, this is the the diet in the Garden of Eden. Basically, it is a vegan diet. I wanted to, as clergy myself, I wanted to go into houses of worship in Chicago and take this message of health. And we're doing it with what we're calling the three C's. So there are classes, the Food for Life classes that we were talking about. There's coaching, where after a participant in a church has gone through the PCRM class, they will have coaching for 3 months. And I will also attempt to help the congregation create a health ministry so that it continues, the possibility of support continues beyond the class and the coaching. So, you know, we're talking about if you can give people the information, show them how easy it is, and then let them taste it and see that it tastes good, that's wonderful. But what I'm proposing is that for 3 months after that, we use vegan lifestyle coaches like yourself and many others. We have 30 coaches who have signed up to help us with this project. If we can get them 3 months out after the 1 month that they've spent with the class and then create a health ministry in addition to that, I think we really have an opportunity here to help people in a number of ways, help people with their health, help people live the values that they talk about within their faith tradition. I think we really have some possibilities of doing something important here. We're focusing in Chicago. There are a lot of churches and synagogues and houses of worship in Chicago. So we've got some work to do, but I think with the PCRM Food for Life classes, the coaches, and then consulting on creating a health ministry, that we really have this opportunity to move some people to a different place.
I want to tell you, Russell, that is one brilliant ministry that no doubt was God-given for you. That is just very, very, very powerful. I want to stick with that, but I would be remiss in the next 10 minutes, you know, with our interview ending here. Because Victoria Moran would kill both of us if we did not talk about your certification as a vegan lifestyle coach.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When did you get into that?
Victoria Moran.
Talk about that.
Yeah. She, as you know, she's just spectacular. And one of the things that has really become evident to me since taking her training, and I was in her third class. There were two classes before me. I think she's done a number of classes now. And she's told me when she and I were visiting at Vegetarian Summerfest a few months ago that the class has changed a great deal since I went through it. I think it was February of 2013, I believe. But the thing that really has me singing Victoria's praises is not only her knowledge base and her kind and loving heart, but when she sees you doing good things, she really wants to help the world. She wants to shine a light on that. She's all about giving other people praise. She's all about supporting people and getting this message out. And the time I spent in New York City with her, I think, was it 5 days, Kevin?
Yeah, it was about 5 days, yeah. Five days.
Those 5 days were full of wonderful information. They were full of great speakers, but mostly for me, it was the connection I made with Victoria. All of the other things were good, but that connection with her has proved to be great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Definitely. So you listen. You know, going through the Main Street Vegan Academy, which is in New York, going through that, you said you were the second class or the third?
Third class, I believe.
Third class. You see, it's like Navy SEAL training. It buds. You never forget your class number that you graduate. I'm class 13. I graduate class
13. Nice.
And when she said, you're the second pastor in here. We had a guy named Russell who was a, you know what I mean? So I'm following in your footsteps, basically. You know what I mean?
She's such a connector.
I'm sorry?
She's just such a connector. You know, when she sees that you and I have commonalities, she wants to get us together. When she sees that you're working on a project that may be of interest to somebody else, she wants to get those people together. And it's people like her, I think, that propel this movement forward just by sheer force of will sometimes, because she wants to make this happen, and she doesn't care who gets the credit. Let's just get this done.
Absolutely. You know, I know this is not a religious program, but, you know, a lot of people don't understand. You got the title, Genesis 1:29, and you did some explanation on that, you know, with the Genesis story, that the first diet that human beings, according to the Genesis story, was a vegan diet. How significant is that for today?
Well, I think it's very significant because the Bible is telling us that this is the best diet. This is the diet from the Garden of Eden, paradise on earth. I mean, when you deviate from Eden, there's all sorts of hell that breaks loose, right? So there are actually some faith traditions who believe that if we can work to get things back to the way things were in the Garden of Eden, that the gentle kingdom will return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that Isaiah passage says there'll be no hurt or harm in my holy mouth. So we have to tell the folk there'll be no McDonald's, no Kentucky Fried Chicken, nothing like that in the new creation, because you have to kill in order to get that stuff going here. Now, before, in the interview, how many folks do you expect to sign up with the Genesis 129 Project? I'm talking about people now. You got coaches, but does this start with your own congregation, or how do you propose to do that outreach?
Yeah. What I am focusing on and aiming for is two congregations in April of next year. I'll be communicating with coaches very soon, probably as soon as I get electricity back here. But I want to thank all of the coaches that have volunteered. But I will be telling them that I'm trying to get two congregations in April of 2017 in Chicago. I have two congregations that I am focusing on, but I have not yet received word from the clergy saying that we're going to be allowed in. So if one or both of those don't work out, then I'll be going on to the next. But I'm also working as a 501c3. I'm also working on trying to get grant funding for the project too. And my hope is that we can do at least four of these with four different houses of worship every year. And my hope is to get those funded through grants. If not, mm-hmm. I think the coaches and I are all prepared to do this as best we can and for as long as we can, either until we give up or we do get that grant funding.
I love that. I love that. That's going to work out nice. And tell folks the website that they can come on to to find out about the Genesis 129 project.
Yeah, thank you. It's www.genesis129.org. Genesis129.org.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. Now, before you leave, we always ask about the five great questions. And, you know, you don't have to be extensive on that. But number one, what's the best thing that happened to you today?
Today, let's see. it's a little difficult with, I'm sitting here in the dark. I can't see a thing. maybe the best thing that happened today is the report that the electricity will be on tomorrow.
Very good. Number two, what's the most influential book you've ever read?
Let's see. I'm going to say that Rave Diet book because it really began to have things click in my head, and it led me to a lot of different resources. But I'll tell you, if I can, the movie that influenced me the most was Earthlings. If your listeners ever had the chance to watch Earthlings, it's very hard to get through, but we need to know what's going on, I think, and that shows it.
Well, Earthlings is in its entirety on YouTube. So, you know, for those who are
listening,
you can find it on YouTube. It's free.
Yes, sir.
Number three, your biggest regret is?
Well, I would say my biggest regret is that I didn't figure this out sooner. I can't help but think that I wouldn't have had to go through colon cancer if I wasn't living off of dairy products, basically. So I regret that I didn't figure this out sooner.
Wow. Number four, I want to travel to.
I would really like to travel to Israel, both for the religious significance and because Israel is such a haven for vegan folk and eating in that way. The people in the army are allowed to get non-leather boots and non-wool berets. I mean, it's happening there. And if I didn't have the guts to go there because of all the strife, I'd probably go to Berlin with the vegan community that's there.
Wow! It's a big vegan community in Berlin.
Yeah, there's actually a huge vegan community in Berlin. The German government is doing some really strange things because of some far-right advocacy of trying to get rid of vegan diets, I think, because of a death that occurred. But from my understanding, there's vegan places to eat. There's a vegan butcher shop. There's a vegan grocery store. Berlin is supposed to have some really cool vegan opportunities.
Nicely. Last question. Before I die, I like to...
Well, I hope this isn't too soon, but I'm really focused on the Genesis 129 project right now. I really want to get that thing up and going, and I want it to make a difference in people's lives. I want it to make a difference in the congregations wherewith. I want it to make a difference from the coaches who have trained to do this and are helping other people see the light, so to speak.
Hey, Russell, it is a privilege. It is an honor to interview you. Usually we have, because there's a new board with a new phone number that I have to get straightened out for next week, but we usually give you a studio applause. I don't have that on this board now because of the change in number. But man, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope that power. By the way, before you go, how is the vegan site scene in Puerto Rico?
It's horrible.
Wow.
They had their first vegan fest just a few months ago. I think it was I think it was April of this year, they had their first Vegan Fest. They're looking forward to doing a second one. But the diet here is very, very meat-centric, animal-based centric. It's difficult. You can there's a couple of places I can go to get some really nice meals, and it really has forced me to eat at home a great deal.
Wow. Hey, listen, buddy, thank you very much, and we're going to keep a close watch on that Genesis 129 project, and of course I'm a part of that, so I'm very glad when you gave out the email. I said, what a great idea, and I wanted to be a part of that, so thank you for inviting me, and thank you so much for being on The Cool, and we're going to have you on again, because you need to report the project, the progress of that project.
That sounds spectacular, Kevin, and I really admire what you're doing. I appreciate what you put on Facebook, and I think part of the reason I don't like everything you put on there is because I don't want you to think I'm stalking you or something.
Well, you wouldn't be the first person. I usually have movie stars stalk me, but, you know, I'm just kidding. Hey, appreciate it, buddy. Good luck with the power.
Thanks, my friend.
Let us know on Facebook that the power came back on in Puerto Rico.
I will definitely do that. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. That was Russell Evelyn of the Genesis 129 Project. We really, really, really appreciate him for coming on. And, Crystal, is that you?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, give me 1 second here. We're just going to play a little music here before we bring on Crystal Phillips. Hang on, Crystal. We'll be right back. Let me stand into your fire. This is The Cool. We're here every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a new number, which is 516-453-9906. And on the line with us today, we are fortunate and we are honored to have Crystal Phillips of the Instagram site Black Vegan Living. Welcome, Crystal. Thank you so much for coming on today. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and thank you for the invitation. I'm so honored to be on your show this evening.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you to consult. Usually we have a little more. We just had some. I had to give you a new number because we had a switch. All of a sudden, and I'm glad that you are online and to receive that, because otherwise you'd be calling numbers and saying, what's going on, you know what I mean? So I was glad that you got that, and usually we have an audience. You know, I have to create a new board here because of the new changes here. I usually have a audience applause, but I'm just going to applause, and thank you so much for being on. Now, where are you located, Crystal?
I'm located here in Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow. So, you know what? There's another vegan, the Apple Hippie Vegan. She's on Instagram. She's outside of Houston, too. I interviewed her a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you guys can connect. She lives in Houston also. So tell the listening audience a little about yourself, if you will.
Well, I'm 29. I went vegan recently again a couple of months ago. Before that, I was a vegan over several years. I'm a biologist.
You said your father's a vegan?
No. I said I was. I've been a vegan over several years.
Oh, several years. I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha.
Several years. Yeah. I'm a biologist by trade, but right now I actually work in pharmaceuticals as a quality manager. And I also own my own company called Seasonal Harvest, which is a vegan company, mainly geared towards helping those that live in food deserts actually get a healthy organic food, especially women of color. Especially women of color, because there's been a lot of studies done lately about low iron intake actually causing disabilities and children's performance throughout their later years in school. So I started that company in November of last year. So it's right about a couple of months now. So brand
new. What's
the name of the company?
Seasonal
Harvest. Seasonal Harvest.
You go?
Seasonal Harvest.
Seasonal Harvest. Okay, Seasonal Harvest. Uh-huh. Okay, and it's a company to try to counter food deserts in the urban community, and targeting particularly Black women. I got that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, while we're on that topic, is there a website connected to your company?
There's not a website just yet.
Okay.
There's not a website
on
just yet. We're still actually. Having the website made, and then there's going to be a new Instagram page made next month.
Love it. I know, listen, you know, I always have a good sense of individuals, and I believe that you're a very high-impact individual, and you're going to get that done. So you are a vegan for, you said, 2 years now?
2 years. I had a counter slip. I got really, really sick, and so I had to implement some other things into my diet for doctor's orders. But now I've come back to being full-time vegan. I learned a lot of new things where I can implement into my diet where I don't have to have the meat component anymore.
Okay, so talk about that. What made you become a vegan then? You started talking about you got sick, so if you can elaborate that if it's not too
Yeah,
personal.
True. Oh, no, it's not anything personal. Originally, I became vegan. It was a funny story. So I was actually going to the Galleria here in Houston. It's a huge mall, about 147 stores. And I was actually going in, and this girl gave me a pamphlet. And usually I throw away pamphlets that people give me when I'm walking into stores so that you're trying to sell me something, you know. And I actually looked down at it, and it was actually a pamphlet on the agricultural trade business and how they mistreat animals and how they profit off of animals' cruelty. And so that really touched my heart because, like, I'm a biologist. I've also worked a little bit in the agricultural science business. And at the time, I had got so immune to it that I never really thought about, oh, my God, like, I am hurting animals. I am profiting off of their suffering. And it has to be a better way. It has to be a better way for me to live. And so I started from there on, like, researching how do I get all the essential nutrients, minerals, micronutrients, and vitamins that I need without having to put a poor animal's life sacrifice a poor animal's life. And so that really got me started on the vegan route. However, I got sick because I had some fibroids, and so I had very, very low iron for a while to where a point where I would pass out during the day. And so I would pass out during the day. And so my doctor really recommended me to start taking these vitamins that had animal byproducts in them. However, I found out a better product to take that doesn't have any type of animal product in it. It's actually blue-green algae called spirulina, and they also have chlorella, which is 10 times higher in iron than any type of animal byproduct that you can buy on the market. And so that's why I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take these pills anymore. I'm going to move over onto this. And when she, you know, when I went back in to get my blood tested, you know, my iron was back into the proper levels. And she was like, I told you you can't be a vegan. I'm like, nope. I actually took chlorella and spirulina to combat this. So that's how I became vegan. That's how I continue to be a vegan.
Wow. That's spirulina is very powerful. Not only does it have a high concentration of iron, but it's one of the highest plant protein sources on the planet. It's got more protein than an 8-ounce steak or something like that. We're talking with Crystal Phillips of Black Vegan Living. She is on Facebook. Instagram. That's her moniker on Instagram, Black Vegan Living. So now you said something very powerful, Crystal. You had fibroids. Now, since you became vegan, how's that doing? If I'm not getting too personal, how's that going?
Oh, no. Love to share. They've actually shrunk over the last year and a half. By half of it. It was at the size of a grapefruit. Now they've shrunk into a very, very small peach, and I'm pretty sure next year when I get tested again, it's probably going to be even smaller than that.
Now, you know why I brought that up, Crystal? Because I'm sure there's some Black women listening or will listening on demand, and that is a big issue among Black women. I don't know why it's not an issue, and maybe you can correct me. I don't know if it's an issue of women outside of the Black community. Is that an issue outside of the Black community with women also, fibroids?
I'm not necessarily sure about outside the Black community, but I know definitely within the Black community is a huge issue.
It's a huge issue. Heavy menstruals and cramps and all that comes with that, right? So,
yes.
But you gave up animal products. You gave up dairy. You gave up meat. You gave up fish. I mean, the whole nine yards. And in your estimation, how long did you examine? It says as large as a grapefruit. Then when you went to your next examination, it shrunk in half. How long were you into the vegan diet for that to take place?
Honestly, I knew there was a change after the first 2 months of being vegan because I no longer experienced any type of cramping or heavy menstrual cycle. Like, after 2 months, I couldn't even tell, like, when I was on my menstrual cycle. And so my life just changed phenomenally because my menstrual cycles were so bad to the point where I had to actually call for work for several days. Move. Yeah, I couldn't move without having an accident or anything like that. So I was bedbound for several days on my menstrual cycle. And so I noticed right away after 2 months of being vegan that I didn't have any of those issues anymore.
You know, that's powerful. Now, have you read are you familiar with Tracy McWhorter?
I'm sorry, I can't.
With Tracy McWhorter?
No, I have not heard.
Okay, Tracy McWhorter has this book out called By Any Greens Necessary. That is a Black woman's guide to veganism. It's on Amazon or whatever, and I interviewed her about almost a month ago. But she talked about that same phenomenon about once giving up animal products, you know, this type of thing stops. So would it be safe to say that eating animals cause some type of medical disconnection as far as the female is concerned in that area?
Yeah, and I'm so happy you brought that up. It actually does. As a lot of people know, a lot of our meat is injected with a lot of different chemicals. And even the water bottles we have to actually be afraid of because they have BPA in it. And BPA is a chemical that affects their endocrine system. And it affects it in a bad way. So with females, it can cause enlargement of tumors. It can cause cancer. It can do some really, really nasty stuff to the female body because it actually acts as – it actually – sorry. It actually kind of shadows. Estrogen. So mm-hmm. it actually shadows estrogen. So it actually bumps up our estrogen, and so that's why we have formations of these tumors and fibroids and different things like that
wow.
because of what we're ingesting. And so mm-hmm. once you stop mm-hmm. ingesting all those chemicals, of course things are going to start to shrink. Of course, you're not going to be able to, you know, to have those all those symptoms like you usually have. So, definitely being tied to the agricultural industry, and when you get rid of those types of things, then you don't have those problems. So I definitely say, you know, stop eating meat, stop eating dairy, because all of those types of things are getting injected with chemicals that affects our estrogen, affects our endocrine system in a negative way.
Do you find out that, you know, that some of your fellow, I guess, female friends consider having fibroids and heavy menstrual cycles something that's just normal, just part of normal womanhood?
I know for myself, for many of years, I thought that was just normal. I thought that was what everybody went through. And so I changed my lifestyle. Like, I didn't know any better. My mother had went through this, my mother's mother before mm-hmm. that, my older sister. So this was very common in our family, fibroids, heavy menstrual cycle, and things of that nature, and pain, like unbearable pain. So,
So now, since you're vegan now, your mother's still with us?
My mother's still with us. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank God. I'm sure you spread the word and told them, hey, I'm not going through this anymore. What do they say to you when you tell them the reason why you're not going through this?
They're extremely happy. They have not given up meat completely, but they have mm-hmm. gone down to just eating meat once a week, which is a huge improvement for them. Because they usually eat meat with every meal, so now they just do the meat once a week. And they live more of a vegetarian lifestyle now.
Okay, so they're still dealing with dairy products?
Not so much dairy, because they are lactose intolerant, so they don't really mess with the dairy too much, yeah. But they still eat, like, fish and things of that nature.
Okay, good. But that's still good. So they've seen what's happening with you. Have you noticed a difference? Have you ever experienced any acne problems or anything like that?
Acne, no. Actually, my skin is blemish-free. I have my pores are extremely minimized. You can't even tell. My skin mm-hmm. looks like butter, and anybody who goes on my Instagram page can see that for themselves. No acne, none of that.
Beautiful, beautiful. We're talking with Crystal Phillips of Black Vegan Living on Instagram. This is the Cool. Here every Thursday from 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. We have a new number because we threw you off. Our audience, we might have thrown you off today, but our number, our calling number is 516-453-9960. So why did you start Black Vegan Living, Crystal?
The reason I started Black Vegan Living is because when I initially went vegan, I didn't see anybody that looked like me living that lifestyle. And mm-hmm. a lot of the recipes that I would come across were recipes of someone else's ancestral background. And so I really wanted to be able to eat the food that I enjoyed while I was growing up with the same mm-hmm. seasonings, just without the meat component. And so that's where Black Vegan Living came into existence. I was like, I wanted to still have the Creole food without the seafood. So a lot of the recipes that I cook, I have that Creole background to them. And I just wanted to have a place.
Go ahead.
And so I just wanted to have a community that could come together where they could see people like themselves, have and food that they will more likely enjoy, as well as pick up on, like, this Black Vegan Living, like, as far as the traveling is concerning, as far as, like, experiencing new foods and new ethical backgrounds. So Black Vegan Living encompasses all of that.
Okay, so it celebrates the vegan perspective from the African diaspora. Am I safe to say that?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you have a Creole background, so you're Haitian?
No. My mother is actually from Louisiana, and her mother is actually a French woman. That married another French man. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Creole Cajun type thing.
Creole Cajun, yes.
Okay, very nice. You're also a runner. I looked, did a little research on your, at least your Instagram, but you run.
I do run. I'm not like a marathon runner or anything like that, but I will do a 5K a month. I definitely believe that running is a good thing. It actually lowers your bad cholesterol. It helps with the scrubbing of the arteries. So I try to run as much as I possibly can.
How often do you run?
Usually about two to three times a week, depending on when I can schedule those times in. But I have a treadmill in my house, so I'm always on that thing. But I'm outside running like two to three times a week.
Okay, so are you an evening runner or a morning runner before you go to work, or how do you do that?
I love to wake up early in the morning, so usually if I'm going to go run, it's going to be at 5 o'clock in the morning because Texas heat is unbearable at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you have to get it in before there's, like, any humidity to set in because usually, if, 5 o'clock in the morning during the summer, and even in the fall, it's already, like, 75. So it's nice. But at 8 o'clock, it's probably, like, 80, huh?
That was like New York. I'm based in New York, so I remember in the summer it was like that. I'll get up like during the height of the heat wave out here. I had to get out there like 4:30.
Yes.
If I get out there at 4:30, it was gonna be killing me. You know what I mean? So it's still cool and everything, and I bike also. So sometimes I get bike riding in. Yeah, so I do that too to try to get something in, basically. So let me ask you, as a runner here, a little shift here, what sneakers are you running in?
I have some Nikes. I'm not necessarily sure what type of Nike it is, but they I have Pro Nation, so they help with that.
Oh, yeah, Pro
Nation. So they're about like maybe 2 to 3. Inches thick off the ground to help me correct that.
Okay. See, now when you said pronation, I know you were running. So you had to go to the running store to get that thing checked out. They put you on the treadmill and watch how your feet land, right?
Yes.
Okay, I know that you're running. Now tell me something else here. Are you prescribed to Runner's World? Are you reading Runner's World sometimes?
I do go on Runner's World sometimes, but the one I'm actually prescribed to is like a USF, and they keep me abreast of all the different 5K events that's going on in Houston and then the Texas area in general.
Now, how do you what's your post workout meal after you run? Do you do smoothies?
I do smoothies. I'm an avid juicer. That's usually kind of like my morning breakfast too. But I have this vegan protein powder that I absolutely love called Warrior Protein Powder. It comes like in chocolate. It has maca in it and hemp protein, along with brown rice protein in it. So that's what I usually will take right after I'm running, and sometimes even before.
Okay. All right. Before we get in, I think it's Sun Warrior. That's the one you're talking about, Sun Warrior?
No. There's actually a Warrior, not Sun Warrior. I know that one, but this is it's a different one. Yeah. I'm only able to get it at stores like Whole Foods. They sell it.
Yes.
And they also sell it at Sprouts. I'm not sure if that's where you're located, but they sell it at Sprouts as well.
Well, we got Whole Foods out here, so somewhere around here. But
Extreme Warrior.
Extreme Warrior. Okay, probably Amazon probably got that. I'm sure.
That's where I get it from. Amazon, and it has it for cheaper too. If anybody's on a budget, get it from Amazon.
Very good. Now, here's the question I was going to ask you, because you're talking about the chemicals in the meat. Someone, let me just be sort of like a devil's advocate, say, oh, well, there are chemicals in the fruit. How do you, and the vegetables, how do you deal with that? What do you
say? I deal with that by actually looking at where I get my fruit and vegetables from. So for me, I do not like to shop in stores a lot. I like to actually go to farmers markets or the actual farm itself. And so I definitely really research about people's farming practices, what type of chemicals they use, how many times they actually spray their fruits and vegetables, are they USDA approved for organics. So I have to look at all of that. And also I pay attention to if they grow monocultures or not. I feel like for me, monocultures is the worst thing ever to happen to agriculture. So if you don't have a good biodiversity within your farm, I don't shop with you.
Okay, now. So you really, okay. Now you understand also that veganism is more than just eating food. It's also what you wear. Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah. So there is a place called Lily's where I get my shoes from. They have, like, fake leather shoes or whatever because I have to wear leather-type shoes to work for what I do. So Lily is a good source for fake leather shoes. That
what's
is
it called?
Really
Woolies?
Nice, very, very – Lily's.
Woolies. Is it Woolies
Lily.
Or Willis?
L as
yeah,
in like Lily, like Lily.
Oh,
flower.
Lily in the Valley, Lily, flower, Lily.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Are you familiar with this Instagram lady? She's fully raw, Christina. She's in Houston. She's has an organic farmer's market.
Is it?
I know her Instagram is fully raw, Christina.
Yes. I've actually subscribed to her co-op for a little while.
Yeah, I'm totally familiar
with her. Yeah, she has a co-op, and I definitely know about her and her journey towards veganism. And actually, she was one of the first people that I came across when I became vegan because of her story with the spider bite. So yeah, definitely know all about Christina and her way to the raw vegan diet. Yeah.
Excellent.
She's a great inspirator.
Well, listen, we got like 5 minutes left in the interview here. And so we all asked the 5 great questions, and I'm very, very inspired about what you're doing. What's the best thing that happened to you today?
The best thing that happened to me, I went for a certification for an auditor position, and I got my test results back today, and I passed it with flying colors. Most people don't pass this test on the first try, so I'm extremely happy about that.
Excellent. Number 2, what's the most influential book you've read thus far?
The most influential book that I've read has to be Revolutionary Suicide by Huey P. Newton. That's one of the most amazing books, and I think it speaks a lot about the times that we're currently living in with police brutality, with all the injustices that are going on within the African-American community. So I definitely say definitely read that book if anybody's interested on how to actually combat this and win it for more of a political perspective. Yeah.
All right. Revolutionary Suicide by Huey P. Newton. All right. Number 3, what's your biggest regret?
Allowing a doctor to tell me that I had to go back to eating meat for a little while. I think that's one of the biggest regrets I had. I should have researched it more instead of taking that at face value.
Yeah. Number 4, I want to travel to.
I want to travel to Mozambique.
Okay, why?
Honestly, I've never been to anywhere on the continent of Africa, and so I think Mozambique is a very beautiful place. I've had some friends that went there and just told me that their life had just changed about how they view themselves in relation to just the world, and they've come back so inspired and have done so many great things just taking that trip. So I definitely want to see what that's about.
Outstanding. And before I die, last question, before I die, I'd like to.
Before I die, I would like to probably write a book, write a cookbook about different vegan recipes and have it get published. And also go up against the USD agriculture for small-time farmers who want to be organic but don't have enough money to actually pay for the certification, which is when you look at the criteria, it's out of this world. They don't even hold regular farmers to that. So definitely want to do those two things.
Well, you could tell they don't want that to happen, you know, and that's just part of the conspiracy. Definitely. Hey, Crystal, how can someone get in touch with you? How can they find your social media? Give us your social media information.
Black Vegan Living is for Instagram, and then they can actually find me by my first and last name on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. And then Seasonal Harvest, if they type that into Facebook, a page will pop up for that too.
Okay.
That is still being worked on, but it'll definitely be completed by next month. So they can find me in those three areas.
Listen, you got to friend me on Facebook, Kevin Jenkins. Friend me on Facebook, got sunglasses on, and fist pump in the air. You'll see me there. You got to definitely friend me on there. All right.
I definitely will.
Appreciate you very, very much for coming on. And when you get Seasonal Harvest, hit me up on Instagram so we can talk about that, because I try myself to eat as much as organic produce as possible. And for you to introduce that into the urban community, that's fantastic. So that is awesome. So thank you so much for that.
All right. Thank you. It's such a pleasure talking to you tonight. And thank you for giving me this forum to promote my business and to promote my brands and to promote Seasonal Harvest. I am so grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for consenting to be on The Cool. I appreciate that very, very much. And this won't be the last time. I'm going to get you on there again. We'll follow each other closely. And, you know, we want to promote particularly vegans of color, just not only all vegans, but just to focus on that that segment of our community, because it's just very important for us to go in that direction. And don't you agree?
Yes, I do. Yes. Especially since the number one killer is cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart attack. Definitely can be wiped out for a vegan lifestyle.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much. And friend me on Facebook and we'll be in touch, okay? Thank you so much, Crystal.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Talk to you later.
Take care. That was Crystal Phillips of Black Vegan Living. On Instagram, we are expecting Quinetta Moore. She should be here soon. But let's go back to Jimi Hendrix here. We're just playing Jimi Hendrix because I don't know anything else on the board here. But let's deal with that as we wait for her to come on. Hey, we're back on the cool every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m., and we were waiting for another more to call in, and our number, our call-in number is 516-453-9906. That's 516-453-9906. We're just waiting on her to call. This will be our final interview with her. But meanwhile, seems like she's not getting through here. Let's try that again. 516-453. I don't know if we're being cut off or what. Let's see here. Yeah, I think we're having some technical difficulties here, and I hope that she's able to get through. Somehow we just got switched up real quick on a number, and we had our last guest to appear, and that worked out pretty good. Anyway, let's talk about the seven reasons to choose a plant-based diet, and that's from health.us.com, which talks about the seven reasons why we should do a plant-based diet. If you're listening, Queen Anne, I'm not sure what's going on with the technical difficulty. I don't know what's happening here. Yeah, I'm hopefully that you can break through. Before we're here. Well, anyway, let's talk about that, right? So the first reason is to prevent diabetes. Roughly 387 million people are living with diabetes, according to the International Diabetes Federation. And that number is expected to soar to 600 million. By the year 2035. So type 2 diabetes is entirely preventable, and research is suggesting that a plant-based diet can ward off the disease. So that's the first reason that one should try to go on a plant-based diet, is to prevent diabetes. Number two is to control your hypertension, lots of research is suggesting, especially from the Harvard School of Public Health, suggests that a diet loaded with fruits and veggies can lower blood pressure. About one in three American adults suffers from high blood pressure, meaning that they're at higher risk for heart disease and stroke. And that's the two leading causes of death in America. So that's number two. So you got diabetes going on, and you want to try to deal with hypertension. Number three, your heart health. That's the third reason why you should go on a plant-based diet. Harvard researchers tracked the health habits of about 100,000 to 110,000 people for 14 years and find out that higher folks' intakes of fruits and vegetables, the lower the chances of developing cardiovascular disease. Specifically, people who are average 8-plus servings of fruits and veggies a day were 30% less likely to have a heart attack or stroke compared to those who had less than 1.5 daily servings. So if you want to try to avoid heart health, increase your heart health, you want to go plant-based. You want to go plant-based. So you want to, if you want to begin to try to ward off heart disease. The next reason is weight loss. No one, and I heard this today, no one is obese if they're eating a vegan diet, at least a healthy
vegan diet. Nobody is obese if you're doing that. And so there are plenty of research suggesting that vegetarians tend to consume fewer calories and thus weigh less. I see my guests are saying we're having technical difficulties here to try to get her going on. Yeah, you want to if you want to deal with weight loss, you want to deal with that and try to try to get that going. And so these are some of the reasons why you want to do a plant-based diet. You know, you want to try to get your weight loss together. And then there's fiber intake. You want to definitely deal with your fiber intake by keeping you regular, by eating and digesting and preventing constipation. You want to lower your cholesterol. You want to pack your diet with fiber. So that's very important. And also you improve your vision. So that's very, very important to do that if you want to go on a plant-based diet. And then skincare. I've noticed that people who are vegan want to deal with skincare and get their skincare very, very smooth going here. We've been having some technical difficulties today. I'm very, very sorry, you know, to our last guest who cannot seem to break through with our 516-453-9906. Like I said, we just got this last-minute message that, you know, our number has been changed, and we're just hoping that next week everything will be back in progress, basically. So I'm very, very encouraged. But since we don't have our last guest, and it seems like that she cannot get through here, we're going to have Ms. Moore on next week. Folks, I think I'm going to sign off early today because of our technical difficulties here. And so next week, we're going to have a better situation, and we'll have the things straightened out a bit. Again, our new number is 516-453-9906. That's 516-453-9906. That's our new number. And hopefully by next week we'll have all this straightened out. So we'll have a little smooth sailing next week. And so this is probably, you know, we're going to sign up at least 15 minutes earlier. And next week we will be back. All right. So we're here from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is The Cool. I'm Kevin Jenkins, your Global Vegan Podcast. And so I'm going to sign up early today because of the mass technical difficulties that we're having. And we're hopefully that we will resolve this next week. All right. My board is only has Jimi Hendrix, so I've been Jimi Hendrixing you guys out if you are listening. And so we're going to just sign off with that and end the episode. Okay. Next week, we promise you that we will have a better and a smoother transition. Take care.